The Rav describes in a very famous drasha. The Rav describes Parshas Baha'aloscha as a parsha of great transition. He describes very dramatically how the opening of Chumash Bamidbar all the way through the middle of Baha'aloscha is the triumphant march to Eretz Yisrael. We were talking yesterday about Maseches Yadayim. The Mishnah in Yadayim is the one that highlights Vahi ben Sa'a Ha'aron as a very significant unit in and of itself, a sefer b'fnei atzmo. And part of that, up until Vahi ben Sa'a Ha'aron, everything is glorious. Kalal Yisrael is preparing. We've been at Har Sinai for close to a year. Jews have come to Har Sinai last Rosh Chodesh Sivan, around 6 weeks after leaving Mitzrayim. And the curtains rise on Sefer Bamidbar 11 months later, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beginning to prepare Klal Yisrael to move. And we're counting into the Golem and figuring out which Levim are going to be carrying what and how we're going to transport the Mishkan. And then the preparations continue. We hear in Parshas Baha'aloscha, we're preparing Chatzotzros. Moshe speaks to Yisrael. He tells his father-in-law, Nosim Anachnu, we are traveling to Eretz Yisrael. Are you with us? Are you in? And everything is glorious up until Vahi ben Sa'a Ha'aron. After Vahi ben Sa'a Ha'aron, suddenly things take a very, very dramatic turn. Arguably the sharpest turn in the entire trajectory of Chumash. Things tend to progress step by step. But here we're sort of headed straight ahead and with great momentum and great energy, and something is glorious and wonderful and shining, and suddenly the Mesononim, and then one chet follows another chet, the end of Baha'aloscha, begin to spiral downward, until finally in Parsha Shlach, in the middle of Parsha Shlach, Klal Yisrael accept the negative report, and more importantly, the negative editorial of most of the Meraglim. And that, as Chazal tell us, the psukim indicate, and Chazal expand upon, that seals the deal. And it's going to be another generation before Klal Yisrael can enter Eretz Yisrael. We will ultimately enter Eretz Yisrael, as promised, but it's going to take an extra generation, as we know. There's a lot to say about that, and I want to dwell now on the Rav discusses very beautifully, you know, what it was about the Misonanim that was so impactful. That was the beginning of this dramatic turnaround. What I want to look at instead is how, given all of this background, and given like Baha'aloscha is such a tzibur dika parsha, right? It's so wrapped up in the movement of Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, and then the beginning of the pullback of Klal Yisrael from Eretz Yisrael, in the midst of this, all of this national, communal, tzibur dika focus, there's a key line that's not about the community. There's a key line that's uttered by individuals, and is incredibly inspiring dafka because of that. The parsha of Pesach Sheni, which we had the chance to talk about earlier, a number of weeks ago, in Chodesh Iyar. And the parsha Pesach Sheni, which as Rashi quotes from Chazal, you know, it's remarkable in many ways. One of which is the Torah gives us the story, the backstory context to how, when the dinim were taught. Most of the time, you think about it, the vast majority of dinim in Chumash, it just says, you know, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemer, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Lemer. Sometimes you hear a little bit of what the date was or where they were. It was Bahar Sinai, it was Ohel Moed. Okay. Basically, the Torah, 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100, the Torah tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu told the following din to Moshe Rabbeinu. Whatever the historical background was, it's irrelevant. And as we talk about just a couple of weeks ago, Gemara Megillah tells us, arguably, the most important tool in our methodological toolbox, in our Derech HaLimud, for learning Tanakh, the most important tool the Gemara gives us, for learning certain Nevi'im and Ksuvim, might be the idea that Nevuah Shlo Hutzruch Hiludaros Lo Nechtuva, that the vast majority of historical material, and even of Nevuos, that were that were shared with Klal Yisrael over the course of the 1,000 years of a Jewish Nevuah, from Moshe to Malachi, the vast majority of it does not make it into Tanakh. Not because it didn't happen, and not because it wasn't important. There were many historical events that happened at the time, including world events, that don't make it into Tanakh. There were the vast majority of Nevuos that were sent to Klal Yisrael are not recorded in Tanakh. They were important at the time. Those historical events happened. Those Nevuos obviously happened and were critically important for those Jews to hear, but they're not relevant for us, and therefore Nevuos lo hutzrichu doros lo nichtva, they're not recorded in Tanakh. So most of the time, whatever the background might have been, which day it was that Hashem taught Moshe this din, it's not important for us to know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had some cheshbon, but it's irrelevant to us, so it doesn't appear in the Chumash. Here is one of these rare cases where the Torah gives the backstory. And there were people with Tmeim LaNefesh, beginning of Perek Tes, of this week's Sedra. There were Jews with Tmeim LaNefesh. They weren't able to, after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's the way Chazal interpret the Pasuk, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people, you gotta bring Karban Pesach this year as well. Beautiful Ramban. A chance to learn with some Chever last night, not for now, about the uniqueness of that Karban Pesach, or the first, you know, a year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. But what the Torah draws our attention to primarily is that a couple of Jews come over to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, and they say, Moshe Rabbeinu, we're losing out here. Perek Tes Pasuk Vav, Ahi Anash Moshe Ha'i Tmeim L'Nefesh Adam. There were people who were Tmeim L'Nefesh. They couldn't bring Karban Pesach on the Yud Daled Nisan. They could not consume the Karban Pesach on the night of Chag HaMatzah, the first night of Chag HaMatzah on Tezvav Nisan. They come to Moshe and Aaron, and that Bayamu that very day, and they say, well, we're Tamei, Lama Nigara. Why should we lose out? Moshe and says, Oh, Imdu Ve'eshma Maitzav Hashem Lachem. So those three psukim, Perek Tes, psukim Vav, Zayin, Ches, the backstory to, beginning the next pasuk, by Dabar Hashem Moshe Leimar, Dabar B'nei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people the din of Pesach Sheni. So why are we hearing all the backstory? Why not just pick up straight from Pasuk Tes? You should have skipped. The Torah could have skipped from Pasuk Hei to Pasuk Tes. And Rashi was bothered by this. The end of Rashi's comments on Pasuk Zayin. Ru'u yaisa parasha zulei amar de Moshe kashar kol Torah kula. This parasha could have been said via Moshe, like the rest of the Torah. What do you mean via Moshe? It was said via Moshe. Adab Hashem Moshe Lema. No, we mean via Moshe alone, without any backstory. Like the rest of Chumash is typically without any backstory. El shazachu elu shete amar al yedein shemegal genzchus ayde zakai. These Jews were zocha to be presented in the Chumash as the catalyst of this parasha. They were the catalyst of this parasha, but they were zocha that was actually mentioned in the Torah. Which, if you think about it, they are almost singular in that way. If almost every single halachic parasha in Chumash has no backstory, that means there are almost no people who got this zchus of being mentioned in the Torah as being the catalyst of the parasha. Kim'at, not the only, but kim'at, the only people who have this zchus are these anonymous Jews who came to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting, we don't even know who they are. But no Slavchar also have the same zchus. And there, we hear who they are. We hear who they are. We hear their names more than once, and their father, and their shevet. Here, we don't even know who the people are. It's a remarkable thing. The Torah doesn't name them. As a matter of fact, there's a machlokas in the Midrashim. Who were they? Why were they tummy? Were these the people who were involved with the bodies of Nadav and Avihu? Were these the people who were involved with the bones of Yosef HaTzadik? It's not even clear. There's anonymous Jews, but they were zocha to be referenced in the Chumash. Why? So Rashi says, "Shemegalgal zchus l'idei zakai," because we will roll a zchus onto someone who's already a zakai, who already has a zchus. Sounds a little bit like mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Not the same thing, but definitely similar. So they were already zakaim; they already had enormous zchus, and the mele they were also zocha to this extraordinary, almost singular zchus of this sort of mention in Chumash, this sort of honorable mention of the highest order. What was this chus? How were they ready zakam? How were they ready zakam? Well, what did they do? So you could say it means whatever, they were the Chaver Kadisha, right? They were taking care of Nadar Avi, they were taking care of Asmas Yosef, they did that mitzvah, So in Mela, they're also zochet to be the catalyst mentioned in the Chumash. That the fact that they were catalysts for this parsha, it gets mentioned in the Chumash. It could also be that there's zochos is what this pasuk does tell us. We don't know what their names are. The Torah doesn't tell us explicitly to which mace did they become tamei. The one thing the Torah does tell us is the ringing two-word phrase. Lama nigara. Why should we lose out? Why should we be nigra? Why should we have to experience gay ra'on? We don't want to suffer the deficit of a mitzvah. That is likely their zchus. Because if you think about it, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu just told them there's a mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and you got to be tahar. Okay. So the natural reaction for many of us would have been, okay, I heard that in Potter. Shine. I heard that in Potter. Shine. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to drink Karban Pesach. So, well, I'm done. No problem. Not doing anything wrong. Not being involved. I'm not choosing to move out to the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. That's the din. I'm telling you, if you're telling me you can't be involved to Karban Pesach, for the best of reasons they were tamei, they were taking care of Nadav Avia, they're taking care of Yosef. You know, we're doing the right thing. We became tamei. Now Moshe Rabbeinu just announced you got to be tahor to be Karban Pesach. Okay? So we can't. We might not have faulted them for just going home. Okay? I did this mitzvah, instead of that mitzvah. Instead, what do? They say to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to lose out. Lama nigara. They were spiritually ambitious. They were seeking to maximize their avos Hashem. They were actively asking the question of Moshem lokecha doresh me'imanu. What does Ribon Shalom want of us? Not just, okay, you know, you told me a chiv, it doesn't apply to me, so I can duck out. They were proactively seeking, I want maximal kirvas elokim. And that type of personal spiritual ambition catapulted them to an almost singular zechus of the Parsha Zu Nemra Al Yedehim. And again, as I said before, it's all the more dramatic because Bahaloscha is such a storm of tzibur activity. As we said before, right? It opens, the beginning of Parsha Bahaloscha is sort of the crest of all of this positive tzibur momentum that Ray began in Bamidbar and Nusso, and now sort of coming to a head. Nosim Anachnu, we're headed off to Eretz Yisrael. And then everything crashes and suddenly we're spiraling back into spending decades in the Midbar. But in the midst of it all, there's a singular schus, almost singular schus that they enjoy because of the Lama Nigara. In the midst of all this national activity, their personal sense of not just responsibility, not just doing the right thing, miyira, but the Avas Hashem that drove them to Lama Nigara, we want to maximize. We want it not to do silly things, but we want to do that which we want to know how we can effectively accomplish Kirvas Elokim. So I know something that many of us and many, many other people have struggled with. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had been telling us for many, many weeks, I don't want you in shul, so Lama Nigar wouldn't be, I'm going to go into shul anyways. That's not Ratzon Hashem. But the Lama Nigar might be, okay, I'm davening home. So I'm not just going to, instead of that being an excuse, my davening to dwindle, which will be a natural reaction, to seek to say, I'm going to try to maximize. I know there are guys on this call who said, if I'm not davening minyan, I'm going to daven vasikin. And there are guys on this call who said, I'm not davening minyan, that means my shmona esrei can be longer. There's no kedusha to try to finish in time for, and there's not. And v'chulu. To take opportunities, and not to do silly things, but to ask, what is the maximum authentic, genuine avos Hashem that I'm capable of in this situation? That, in the midst of all the tzibur or hullabaloo, first the positive momentum and then the negative dropping in Parashat Bahaloscha, this was a personal zuchus and a second personal zuchus. They were omid b'nisayon and they said, Lama nigara, we don't want to lose out. We want to maximize our kibbutz elokim. We were ambitious about having as much kibbutz elokim as we possibly can. And they were zochet personally personally said that this wasn't the Klal Yisrael's chus. This was these couple of Jews are mentioned as being the catalyst for this parsha. So that's definitely something. Is it something we're living right now? And mamash today, right? You're all expressing your lama nigara to show up and to say shir is over and here I am. Right? In the ofen rishmi, in a technical sense, the shir is over, but we're just getting started. We have miles to go before we sleep, to quote the poet. Right? We have a faher coming up next week that's beckoning us to crescendo to the year. And this year, this academic year, the Tavshin Pei is far from over. The academic, the Shnas HaLimudim of Tavshin Pei, which climaxes in Mitzvah next week with our final faher, and then I'm on to the next leg. Then I'm on to the next step in an upward spiral of growth, of Lama Nigara. And that's an extraordinary zechus. Something to take pride in, you know, Alish Avar, to take pride in the extent, Baruch Hashem, of our Lama Nigara up until this point, and to continue to stoke that fire, to continue to feed that fire, that hislavos of Avos Hashem, and to take inspiration from Parshas Baal Oscha, and to continue to grow that hislavos of a Lama Nigara. What else can I do? Again, not silly things, but what's truly, genuinely, authentically, what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of me in this situation? How can I meaningfully continue to grow and enhance and push forward in Kirvas Elokim? That's a schus that we have enjoyed, and Mitzvah Megalgon Schus Al Yedei Zakai, we should continue to all grow in this. Today, and this week, and next week, and the months to come, in Mitzvah, in years and decades to come.